This podcast is a production of WCWP, LIU Post Public Radio. Check out our lineup of original programs, listen live, or support by visiting wcwp.org.
Hello and welcome to WCWP 89.7 FM. My name is Rich, and you're listening to The Poet's Corner. Now, there have been some changes to The Poet's Corner recently. My former co-host, Garrett Perkins, graduated. He's on to bigger and better things. Yeah, but now I'm here with a new buddy of mine, Julian Wilson. Julian, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. My name is Julian Wilson. I'm pleased to be on the show, and it's going to be fun. Stick around.
Yeah. Julian, like myself, he does write poetically. He's actually a songwriter.
Yes, I am. It's very fun.
Yeah. And as you can tell, these two things kind of go hand in hand. You know, you can mm-hmm. listen to a song and you can say, wow, that lyric is very poetic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. So the topic for today's show is new beginnings.
Ooh.
Yep. Why are they relevant? Why everybody can relate, and some poetry related to new beginnings. So let's get this started. Julian.
Yes.
When you hear the phrase new beginnings, what comes to mind?
When I hear the phrase new beginnings, I usually think of, I mean, it is in a way starting over, but it's also reflecting on the past. And in order to have a new beginning, you must have started somewhere. So you take those experiences from that part of your life, and you attract them to this part of your life, and then you make a connection, and then, you know, sometimes it feels like it might be dragging you down, depending, but that's how I look at it usually.
Mm-hmm. I see. So we are now in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And 2013 was, it just kind of whizzed by us.
It's amazing, right?
It's crazy. It is. So here we are in this new beginning, this new age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've gotten a chance to, like, start over?
Not really. I still feel like I'm going, like, full throttle, but in kind of. It's kind of a little complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've definitely sort of got to a new start. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've got this show going for me. It wasn't airing last
right.
semester, you know. New things to look forward to. New events happening. It's just, life just keeps going, you know?
Yeah.
The never-ending cycle, the Ouroboros.
Yes.
I may have just said a word that you readers did not understand. So, Julian, do you know what the word Ouroboros means?
I've never heard of that word in my entire life.
Well, you may have seen the symbol. It's a popular thing. Okay, have you ever seen, it's like, there's a snake,
mm-hmm.
and it is swallowing its tail, and it's just a solid circle.
You know what? I think I have seen that before.
You may have seen it in the form of a tattoo
mm-hmm.
of some sort.
Most likely.
It is either Aztec, Mayan, some sort of ancient civilization. And it symbolizes foreverness,
infinity.
Time just keeps going
beyond.
On. Infinity and beyond. Toy Story reference.
Oh, yes.
You see, that's the awesome thing about the Poets Corner. We can reference Toy Story, and everything is relevant.
Yes.
Everything is relevant. but moving on, the idea of new beginnings, it's reflected in culture
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
America loves new things.
Yeah.
New absolutely. Shows, new clothes,
new movies.
New movies. I was just about to say that. New everything. And why do you think that is, Julian?
I feel like we all like to, see things, hear things, feel things more like they're like trends to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like they come and they go, but we like to enjoy them while we're here. And then when the next new thing comes, it's fresh and it's exciting to us. So then we welcome that with open arms, and then we just see what happens with that experience, and then the cycle repeats. And that's just human nature, in my opinion.
Yeah. It is human nature. The desire to just love what is new. I mean, mm-hmm. hey, who doesn't like to restart? I mean, if you've had a crappy 2013, you're going to want to rejoice.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And enjoy the next year. Yes. But I actually have a poem titled 2014. And since this is a poetry discussion show, it's the perfect place for me to read it. All right. Letters and commas drip from my temple to the margin. What better way to be alive than to create what lives forever? It's been too many minutes, hours, and days since I've thrown my words into a haze. My New Year's resolution is to make even more friends, find solutions to pollution, and ride a canoe for the first time. And maybe change my poetic voice. Should I add some more decibels, subtract the stress, multiply emotions? I'll consider it. And I'll be looking for a new, I don't know, girlfriend, partner, companion, whatever word you use to name that companion who catches you once your mental bridge collapses. My New Year's resolution is to find even more friends, solutions to pollution, and swim down this river's stream of consciousness. Maybe I'll end up in Niagara Falls with a girl who deserves but doesn't want it all. Until then, my psyche will bungee jump from page to page. This is 2014. Write to me, but don't tell me how you will begin the new age.
Wow. I think that deserves a couple snaps.
Yeah, snaps.
Oh, snaps?
Yeah, we're doing snaps.
Yeah, snaps.
That was beautiful, Rich.
Thank you.
Was really beautiful.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
A lot of great metaphors in there.
That's exactly what I try to do, you know, I try to convey the topic in any way you can, you know, that's what poetry is about. Use imagery, use terms.
Like, I was visualizing the entire thing as I was saying.
Do you remember a specific line that you could have visualized?
The canoe thing.
Oh, yeah. Maybe ride a canoe for the first time.
And then the Niagara Falls thing was very vivid. I like that a lot. Very vivid.
Thank you. By the way, are you accustomed to snapping after poetry? Maybe you didn't even know that this kind of thing exists.
I did, but it slipped my mind at that time because I was just like, I know the association with that sort of thing, but that's not really like a first instinct for me.
It's because, and this may have originated during the beatnik era of the 1950s, it became a cultural practice to snap after a poem instead of clapping.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Yeah,
I'm not completely sure. A friend of mine told me it was to keep the volume in the room low.
Really?
Yeah. Because people who were performing poetry back then, it would usually be in someone's apartment and you wouldn't want to be too loud.
Oh.
So snapping was like the perfect alternative.
Right.
And it's just like, wow. You know. And snapping is awesome.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
See, I never knew like the origins of where that came from. So you learn something there every day.
Exactly. You see, the Poet's Corner teaches you things. This is education and entertainment. The perfect combination.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That really is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, new beginnings. Talking about 2014. Ending up in a new relationship, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah.
Hopefully
maybe
good
buying a new car, you know, who knows?
Buying a new car, man. That's not going to be in my future.
I don't know, right?
Unfortunately.
Same here, man.
Okay. But yeah, what else is new in life that we are just always drawn to? Or have we listed everything? No way.
Nowhere near everything, I believe. Let's see. Well,
not sure, huh?
Not quite.
Not sure. Me neither.
There's a lot of resolutions, you know, that are being made for this year.
Really?
But so far, to me, they seem to be like reiterations of like past years. Like, just like natural desires to make yourself like feel better, to do better for your, you know, your own good, and just be inspired by something. You know? I feel like a lot more people nowadays are trying to reach out and feel inspired by something.
Really?
I'm starting to feel that vibe, and I don't know why. I'm feeling it more this year than last year.
Strange. I don't think I've ever known this generation to really be going in that direction. It's interesting that you say that.
Because don't know, I feel like I've seen some instances where that sort of thing's been going on. Like, people get, I feel like people, they get very down and just, like, depressed too easily, or, like, more so than usual. And I feel like they look for someone or something to lift them up. And it happens more occasionally now. I don't know why that came to mind, but that was the first thing that came to my mind.
No, I know what you mean. That actually brings to mind something. I recall this online forum I was reading.
Right.
It was about the statistics regarding depression in teenagers nowadays. And this one person, he was rather insensitive. He was trying to be funny, I guess.
Right.
And he commented, you know, "Sticks and stones break my bones just doesn't even apply anymore. Because kids can't kids just can't handle it nowadays."
Oh, wow. No.
I know, right?
No.
Like, really? No. Maybe.
That's not even it. He didn't even he hit the core. That's not it.
Yeah, maybe.
There's something else underlying with that. It's,
I know.
I just. No. I feel like it's something a little bit more complex than that. But it's something that we can't control either.
I have a theory. I think that this generation, for whatever reason, we may be more emotionally in tune with ourselves.
Right. Like,
things can affect us quite easily.
Right.
Things can bring us up or bring us down quite easily. But I think it's because we just know how to feel.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's, you know, more than the previous generations. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not competing with everybody from the 70s.
Right.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that's just the best way that I could articulate it. That's the way I could articulate it.
I agree with you. I agree. I just feel like as the years go on, there's been a lot more, you know, disasters and a lot more tragedies, a lot more unfortunate events. And I feel as though the more we hear about those type of things, the more we look for a figure, you know, of sorts, or an icon, or somebody who can, you know, raise our spirits back up if we can't do it ourselves. And since those type of events have been happening a little bit more frequently than usual, or at least we hear about it more frequently, I feel like it's starting to change the way that we look at people and the way we look at, like, thoughts and desires a little bit more. Like, it's starting to shift, I think.
I see. No, I see what you mean. All this turmoil happening around us, these events are the kind of thing that will make you sit down and just think about the world. Think about how something this horrible can happen. You know, like, thinking about how these unsuspecting people had these demons within them, you know, and they just, I don't know. It's just people's propensity for violence. It's just, you can never tell, you know?
Right.
And I think that scares people.
Yeah,
it does.
It sparks something in them, and then it you know, it spreads fear, and fear is, like, really contagious. It is.
It is. I've never heard that word used with fear. Contagious. That's true. It's true.
I mean, like, because, like, if you, I mean, I don't know why, but, like, that was like, especially shown last year, because a lot of things happened last year and within 2012 and a lot of recent tragedies. But it's just, there's more awakenings with people. People, you know, if you're in, like, a specific situation, that moment is when you decide if you're going to be a good person or they're going to be a bad person. And I feel like there's a lot more of those moments that are, you know, quote unquote, revealed in news, you know, more so than in previous years.
I see. Yeah, that is definitely the case. That's definitely the case. I also have another poem about new beginnings.
Oh, what's this one called?
Of course. It is by Arthur Seymour John Tessamond.
Wow.
In English, that's quite a name.
That's quite the name.
He was an English poet, born July 19th, 1902. He suffered from bipolar disorder.
I see.
And he began to publish his works in literary magazines in the 1920s.
Wow.
So yeah, he's...
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he's got experience, and...
Wow.
I'm going to read this poem. I believe it is called New Beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say one day, with a little more time or a little more patience, one might disentangle for separate, deliberate, slow delight one of the moment's hundred strands unfray. Beginnings from endings, this from that, survey. Say a square inch of the ground one stands on, touch part of oneself or a leaf or a sound, not clutch or cuff or bruise, but touch with fingertip, ear tip, eye tip, creeping near yet not too near. Might take up life and lay it on one's palm, and encircling it in its closeness, warmth and calm. Let it lie still, then stir smooth, softly, and tendril by tendril, unfold, there on one's hand. One might examine eternity's cross-section for a second with slightly more patience. More time for reflection.
Wow. Oh, wow, I felt that one.
Yeah,
I felt that one. That wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really touching. Like, that, both poems so far are really touching.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
The thing with Arthur Seymour John Tessman, I'm just going to call him ASJ.
Right.
ASJ Tessman.
Yeah.
And I've only just started reading some of his works. He likes to create this train of images, you know what I mean, inside your head. And what I mean is, okay, for example, he'll start with a line like, with a little time or a little more patience, one might. And then he will just start a list, disentangle for separate, deliberate, slow delight.
Right.
And, you know, he's continuing. This poet knows how to keep you interested, I'd say.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That touched my heart. It really did.
Good. I'm glad. That's exactly what poetry is meant to do.
Yes.
If it doesn't touch your heart, something's
missing there.
Exactly. Something's missing. Do you have any work with you that you'd like to read?
I mean, I have a couple not with me.
Unfortunately. Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When did you write your first poem/song?
Well, I wrote my first poem actually back in 2009.
Wow.
And it was a poem. It was called Elevating Window. And it was soon after, there was some family stuff going on. A lot of personal things, a lot of bad personal things. And I got inspiration out of nowhere, because actually, to my surprise, I wasn't really writing that much. So when I wrote that poem, it was like the first rendition of what I could actually put out there. And it was about nature. It was about war. It was about spirituality and like everything connecting with each other. And I tried to do it from like the view, but like in mind, the visuals, like visualizing like somebody looking out from a window and seeing all this happen. Like, do you ever see Inception, the movie?
Yes, I have seen Inception.
Do you know the scene where like they have the elevator going down and he's seeing like flashes of his life?
Yes.
I based it, well, actually Inception wasn't even out yet in 2009.
Really?
But, no, it wasn't. But it was like a similar concept. But it was looking through a window, like somebody sitting there, you know, holding their head in their arms, and like they're just looking out there and just watching history pass by them. But it was only flashes and stuff. So I figured that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's similar to how to how we think, to how we encounter how we encounter memories.
Yeah.
It's just like images and videos flashing through our irises, you know. It's just,
and it was just flowing out of me, you know. Like, I'll definitely bring it next time so I can read it for you guys.
Yeah, but, you should. All right, but more to discuss after the break. After these messages, we will be right back.
Be right back, guys.
Hello?
just listen. Echoes of a soul are heard after my fingers tap this keyboard. My voice will fade, but this collage of words will last longer than my grandchildren. Speaking is a chore. I'd rather read or wait for more pages to fill with this pen's ink. I sometimes write without so much as a blink, and finally close them when this chain of ideas has been shredded down to the last link. This is the process that carries a smile to my face, like the swing set that propelled you into the face of clouds, like the flower that found the hand of a beautiful girl, like the bungee cord that brought you right back. You are alive, so celebrate every waking millisecond. Listen to what you have to say. All right. Wow. All right. What do you think?
Wow. That was, I'm speechless.
Speechless?
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly am.
Honestly. That poem was called Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about how much I enjoy the task of writing poetry. Well, in this case, typing, because I mentioned after my fingers
tapped this keyboard. I loved that line. That was awesome. Yeah. Such a key line right there.
That's the intro line. You know, your intro's always got to be powerful.
Yeah.
What's going to be powerful?
That helped bring the whole thing together, you know?
Thank you. But yeah, it's funny. I've definitely written more poems than I've typed, but...
Right.
It's strange. Okay. Like, when you are in the creative zone,
mm-hmm.
and you're writing something, do you prefer to type it out, or do you need, like, a pen and paper, and you just got to write it right there?
See, for me, the whole part of the process, I usually like to type everything store it in, like, somewhere, like, on the computer or a laptop or somewhere. Yeah, I mean, I would have backup copies of it, but typing, for me, just feels freer than writing. Even though I do write from time to time, but when I do, I feel more restricted.
Restricted? Wow.
A little bit.
I see what you mean, because if you do make a mistake, it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever. Unless you're using a pencil.
Yeah, I usually use pen, though.
Pens, yeah, exactly. It's not always the case that we have a pencil.
Exactly.
But yeah. Typing is definitely easier in a multitude of ways.
Right.
Can edit anything, bold, italics.
Exactly, because like, and those help me like figure out like a format, you know. Like if I'm writing and I mean you mess up, you gotta cross that whole line out and then you gotta write it again. And then he's just like, what is this black spot right now on this paper? You know, when you're typing it, you could just backspace, you know. But yeah. I've grown more accustomed to that over as the years have gone on. So,
okay, I see. Yes. But we are going to go back to the topic of new beginnings, yes. Which is, of course, the theme of the episode.
Yes.
So, with new beginnings, there's also change that comes along.
Yeah.
Things change, we change.
Changes. Everything changes.
Everything. You can't step in the same river twice.
No.
Exactly. That's a philosophy quote from Heraclitus.
I really like that one, too.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, you're always going down a different direction, you know.
You are.
And even if you're at, like, a familiar place, it's really not the same.
It's not.
As time goes on.
It's not. But other than rivers that keep changing, we keep changing.
Mm-hmm.
We are changing ourselves with fashion,
mm-hmm.
with new activities.
New hobbies.
Exactly.
New things to do.
So many things.
And this kind of goes back to that same notion that we're always looking for something new at the same time.
Yeah, we are. But there are so many people, you know, getting encouraged by new fashion trends, and it's like, maybe I'll dye my hair this color or do this. I personally have never dyed my hair,
nor do
I think I should.
Yeah, I've never dyed my hair either, and I don't have any plans to.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's true, though. It really is. I've never had the desire to get any, like, piercings or tattoos or, you know, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm not really good with pain, and I feel like that would be very painful. So.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. That is one of the main issues with that kind of thing. But hey, if you do have piercings, dyed hair, and whatnot, to each his own.
Exactly.
I'm no judge. This is no courtroom.
Exactly.
this is a recording booth. But yes, yes. Julian is actually looking at my hair right now and he's not and just nodding his head. Just nodding his head like, no, you couldn't. I could tell he's just thinking to himself, dude, you couldn't dye your hair anything.
You want to see my hair? There you go.
Oh.
It's the same thing. We have like the same hair.
Yeah. Yeah. The traditional Caesar haircut.
Yes.
Which was actually inspired by Caesar himself. The legendary Julius Caesar.
The legendary Julius Caesar. Exactly.
It's just an ordinary haircut, though. Actually, I may be wrong about where that haircut was inspired. A friend of mine told me that I could be wrong. I need to look into this. By next show, I will have the origin.
He's gonna have the Caesar facts. Haircut. He's gonna have the true facts.
Exactly. I'm gonna have the facts laid out. But anyway, back to fashion. Back to fashion.
I think they're enjoying this conversation.
I know I'm enjoying this conversation.
So am I.
But yeah, have you ever looked at the way you used to dress?
Oh.
And just like, okay.
Do I even have to answer that question?
Yes. Wait. When was the first point in your life when you decided, you know what, I need to change the way I dress completely?
Oh boy. You want to know something?
What?
I never did.
Really?
I never did. Because honestly, like, well, of course, from like elementary school and like middle school to high school, I changed. But from high school to college, most of the clothes I wore back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm a short guy, they still fit me. I really did like my clothes in high school, but I did, you know, I started to get more vests, more sweatshirts, more hats, more you know, more bling bling, if you will.
Bling bling. That is on the record.
You know, taking it back old school. But I started to wear more assortment of things, and it made me feel more mature. You know, but okay. The fact that I was still wearing like older clothes still made me feel like myself. So it's like hand in hand. But what about for you?
Well, my parents were pretty strict when it comes to my clothing. They did not want me dressing like a hooligan. Of course,
you're right.
That word, I just laugh a little bit every time I hear the word hooligan.
I know, right?
But around freshman year of high school, I'd say, I finally decided, you know what, I need to just have like my own style of clothing.
Right.
I mean, I'm not the type to wear ripped jeans.
Oh no, no.
No. I mean, not even the slight rips though.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even know, like a hole on the side or a little slice with
you see like, with like one of my pairs of jeans like has like a little slice of things, but it's like you really can't even see it, but it's like there, you know.
Yeah.
That was done on purpose for the design of the jeans, not necessarily that, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And that's the thing. It was like I was reinventing my identity, even though I was just putting on different clothes.
Right.
I just felt like I was becoming a newer, better person.
Right. You see, that's how I felt. Not necessarily with fashion, but that's how I felt when I started to write music.
Really?
That's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was reinventing myself through my music because that was a huge change in my life. And it came from a very emotional place in my life. So the fact that I started to do that, I started to write more, it transformed me. Wow. And made me more a lot more aware of things that I usually would not be aware of.
Wow.
I dove into a lot of concepts with that.
That's good. But yeah, we always associate, you know, new styles and clothing and activities with a newer self.
Right.
It's as if when the things we do change, we change.
Yes.
Which
is true. That is very true.
I feel like it's not always true, is it?
Well, I mean, actually, you want to know a fun fact?
Yeah.
Before I started to write and sing and rap and do the whole music thing, my first expression of music was dancing. I used to break dance.
Wow.
And that was my first real like way to get how I want to express myself through music out there, because I didn't know what else, I didn't know how to do anything else. Mm-hmm. I would sing, you know, but like you sound really bad. So like I would try to like I would be doing like cartwheels here and there, and like just I can never do anything like spinning on my head or anything like that.
Oh well, that's dangerous. I hope you don't try.
Like windmills and everything, I can't do that. That's so dangerous. But yeah, I used to dance a lot. You know, one of my inspirations was Usher. You know, seeing his music videos and everything, big inspiration for me when I was a kid.
Could you? Okay. Could you do the thing? I probably won't describe this correctly, but there's this one breakdancing move where you lie on the ground and you spin, and it's like your legs are spinning.
Wait, snowman? Snow angels?
Snow angel? No.
I don't.
No. Snow angel, making a snow angel is not a breakdancing move or any dance.
It really shouldn't be though, because you're.
maybe you can make a snow angel like to a beat.
I'm sorry, like the way you were describing it just now, the first thing I thought was a snow angel.
No, that's my fault. That's my fault. I need to learn my breakdancing terms. That's what I need to do.
But no, I don't think I can do. I think I know what you're saying. I can't do it.
All
right. The you know, most of my dancing is all footwork, but I got really bad as I got older, because I just lost passion in it. And that's when I moved into like singing and stuff. And I was like, ooh, you know, once like my mentor was like, hey, you know, you sound nice. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can go into this. And then the rest is history, I guess.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
But I did start out writing poems, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to bring those in.
Yeah, I will.
Bring those in one of these days.
I'll bring them in for you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. But yeah, changing, new beginnings, all relevant for each and every single one of us.
For every single person.
Every single one of us. But unfortunately, it is nearing the end of the show.
Yes.
So, Julian, do you have any last minute thoughts, maybe?
I just wanted to say that no matter who you are, you all have a purpose in life. You all have a road to walk. And if you ever feel like you're getting down, or you may be getting a little upset about the things that are happening around you, just remember that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. It always gets better from here on out. And life is a roller coaster, so you're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. But at the end of the ride, you're alive, right? So you're going to make it. And that's all I got to say. How about you, Rich?
That is a great piece of advice. I don't think I can top that. Okay, well, if there is one thing I want to say to our listeners about new beginnings and life in general, it's that things happen, but nothing is ever permanent. Don't let mistakes define who you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Don't carry the past like dead weight.
Right.
You know, you got to be free at some point. You got to have your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things this life is about, exploring, being passionate, you know. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So, this has been the Poet's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm your host, Rich. Here with me has been
Julian Wilson.
All right. Until next week, guys. And now for the music.
Like what you hear? Here's how you can let us know. Give us a call at 516-299-2626 or email us at info@wcwp.org. Like us at facebook.com/mywcwp and leave a comment or tweet us @mywcwp. We welcome all kinds of feedback. To directly support the podcast you just enjoyed, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to give back, visit wcwp.org and click the support tab. Thanks for listening from your friends at WCWP.